Track 2. Lorna talks to John Hooton, a Morris dancing enthusiast, about Will Kemp and the 9 Days Wonder reenactment from London to Norwich.
Hello, I'm sitting in John Hooton's office, and today we're going to talk about Will Kemp and the 9 Days Wonder. Perhaps you'd like to explain what the 9 Days Wonder is.
The 9 Days Wonder was a book, a pamphlet rather, written by Will Kemp back in 1600, describing his exploits doing a Morris dance all the way from London to Norwich. And he called the book The 9 Days Wonder because it took him 9 days. Actually, when you go into the detail, you find that there's a bit more to it than that.
A lot more days, yes.
Yes.
All right. So it's quite an important part of Norwich history in a way, isn't it?
A very important part of Norwich history. I mean, I first got to be involved with the researching and finding out a lot more about Will Kemp when I was Morris dancing in London in the 1970s. And as the bagman of the side, who is the, if you like, the secretary of the side, yeah. I was attended meetings of the Morris Clubs of London, and they were looking for a project to do for 1977, which was the Queen's Silver Jubilee. And it was suggested that we reenacted the dance from London to Norwich. And I somehow got lumbered with being on the organising committee.
All right.
And the way we chose to do it was to do it as a relay. So we got 25 teams from the London area, mm-hmm. who were each going to dance about 5 or 6 miles of the route. And we got a special baton, which was an aluminium tube. And in my side, there was a chap who worked for as a designer for the Royal College of Heraldry. And so he produced a wonderful scroll on vellum. We did two, actually, about the 9 Days Wonder. And we rolled them both up. One popped inside the aluminium tube, the staff that we were going to dance along, and take from the Lord Mayor of London up to the Lord Mayor of Norwich. And the other one was given to the Lord Mayor of London. And he saw us off, and each team danced their 5-6 miles and passed the baton on with the scroll inside it. And so eventually, in our case, 4.5 days, we got to Norwich, and it was presented to the Lord Mayor of Norwich in Chapelfield Gardens in 1977.
So where did you dance from then?
My side, I was with a group called the Wheatsheaf Morris Men. We did 6 miles into Sudbury.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I had to find out the route, work it all out, divide it into sort of 5 mile sections, and work out where there was a good starting point, finishing point. And this was allocated to the different sides. And they would come and be there, do their 5 miles, and then go off and dance in the villages around. So it made quite a splash at the time.
All right. So this is sides from, not just from London then, this is...
Well, it was largely London sides, but we also contacted the sides who danced in the areas we were dancing through.
Right.
And most of them also joined in. That was great. And, of course, when we got to Norwich, there was a side already there called Kemp's Men. Named after good old Will Kemp and his exploit. And we gave them the last little bit, dancing from just outside of Grapes Hill. The last team managed to get their way to St John's Cathedral. And then someone who dressed up, their squire, it was a chap called Dave Robertson, dressed up as Will Kemp, and danced the final section in, and he danced to the pipe and tabor player from Wheatsheaf, who dressed up as Will Kemp's pipe and tabor player, who we know he was called Tom Sly. And they danced the last little route round the centre of Norwich, but then we added a little bit extra on to go up to Chapelfield Gardens, because there were an awful lot of people involved. And that's where it was handed over to the Lord Mayor of Norwich, and then we put on all the sides that were there, put on a display. And then went down to the St Andrew's Hall for a good meal and drink.
All right. Now, I'm just a little puzzled. But so, Will Kemp, was he someone very special then at the time?
Oh, yes, very special. He was Shakespeare's clown. He was in the Lord Chamberlain's men. And he played all the parts, that the comic parts, in Shakespeare's plays. But something happened by about 1599. They seemed to fall out because they'd been kicked out of the theatre they were in up in North London, and they'd all dismantled the theatre because they owned the wooden struts and everything that made up the theatre itself, and took them physically down south of the Thames to the latest location, and put the theatre together there. So, and Will Kemp had put a lot of money and effort into this, and a couple of months later he left Lord Chamberlain's men, and was suddenly the most famous comic in the whole land, was no longer there and had nothing to do. And so he did this as a sort of publicity stunt, I think partly to annoy Shakespeare and show that he was actually, you know, the people loved him, because he created quite a stir at the time, and they all flocked in and to say, you know, stuff you. And nobody really quite knows. But Shakespeare then wrote Hamlet a couple of years later, and there's a play within a play in Hamlet. And one of the characters says, "And let the fools speak no more than is set down for them." Ooh. For that is a dreadful thing. And I forget the exact words.
Yeah.
But we've inferred from that that Will Kemp obviously ad-libbed throughout the play. And it really annoyed Shakespeare. And they obviously had an argument about this and fell out. And Will Kemp, to prove that actually people wanted to see the best comedian in the world, decided to do this huge publicity stunt. Plus the fact that he got no work, nothing else to do. Because on the journey from London to Norwich, he sold favours to people. And he took out bets. Mm-hmm. And he writes in the end of the booklet he wrote about it, that when he came to collect the bets, he said there were three groups of people: those who he couldn't find, those who refused to pay, and some genuine people who did pay up, because he actually achieved what he did. And so he danced it single-footedly, I suppose I would say, and he had a pipe and tabor player called Tom Sly, who came along with him, and an overseer to make sure that and guarantee that he did dance every step of the way. And there's a nice story in the book that when he got to Norwich, he arrived on a Wednesday, and the mayor came out to meet him and said, "Please, can you put off dancing into the city until the coming Saturday, because there's lots and lots of people in the county of Norfolk who want to come in and watch." So it was put off until the Saturday, and hordes of people turned up, and Kemp danced he danced round from St John's Cathedral round the outside of the wall to St Stephen's Gate, and then danced down St Stephen's Gate and into the marketplace where the city waits, the musicians had turned out to play for him, and then made his way to the mayor's house. We don't quite know where the mayor's house was, but it was obviously beyond St John Madam Market, and this is where he made the famous jump over the wall. And the overseer lost him in the crowds, and he made him redance that bit, those little 3 miles, the following Tuesday, just on his own, so he could actually say, "Yes, I've seen him dance the whole lot from beginning to end." Yeah.
Oh, that was great, John. Yeah. Oh, I enjoyed that.
And unfortunately, he disappeared into obscurity, and we think died from the plague a couple of years later, whereas Shakespeare went on being more and more successful. And the Robert R. Minn, the chap who took over as the comedian, mm-hmm. He was born in King's Lynn. And there's a plaque on the shop where he was born. Mm. People, well, dramatists who look into this say that Shakespeare's style changed from a sort of bawdy type of comic to one who made, cleverer observations.
Yes.
The slapstick comedian went and the true comic came in.
Brilliant.
Interesting,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
Well, thank you ever so much, because I think we've all learned a lot. Right, we'll go back to our coffee and stop there. Thank you.